Welcome to the award-winning Disrupt Education Podcast, a podcast that explores the latest innovations and trends in the world of education. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser, along with Allie Privet.
We're both educators. Okay, one of us is a former educator, and we were tired of the status quo and wanted to create a space where we could have conversations that aren't always in the public eye. Join us as we talk to other disruptors, educators, researchers, and thought leaders who are pushing the boundaries and challenging the way we were taught.
We're thrilled you're here to be part of a not-so-underground movement to disrupt and amplify the good pieces in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a lifelong learner, there's a story for everyone on Disrupt Education. We're here each week to bring you stories from all over the globe of people doing education differently.
So buckle your seatbelt, get on the disruptor plane as we climb to altitude before letting this episode free fall straight to your ears. Hey there, I'm Allie Privet.
And I'm Peter Hostrasser.
Calling all educators, are you searching for an extraordinary tool that won't break the bank?
Look no further than Propello. They blend exceptional, standards-aligned curricula, pedagogy, and technology with unparalleled flexibility and personalization, empowering every student to soar.
Discover why teachers are raving about Propello's features, such as inquiry-based learning that engages students in hands-on, real-world ways, translations to 100+ languages, and a wealth of resources like read aloud and even leveled text options.
And here's the best part. Propello is absolutely free for teachers. Get ready to revolutionize education.
Join the community of teachers embracing Propello's free tool. Head to propello.com.
Welcome back to the Disrupt Education Podcast. We're rolling into summer. Hi, Allie. It has been 1 year since you jumped out of the classroom and then jumped out of planes. How's it going? How's that feel?
Well, almost a year for jumping out of planes. Maybe around the time that this comes out, it will be officially 1 year. But yeah. At the time of this recording, we are 1 year of my experience of being outside of the classroom, which feels, it's like this mixed feeling, like when you are in a system for so long that like this, the cadence that this time of year brings is like total freedom, but you've been living that way for the whole year. Like,
I can't imagine it. Yeah, I can't imagine it. But what's interesting is our guest, we have Amanda Bratton here, who is a former teacher and 10 years in the classroom. Allie, were you 10 years in the classroom as well? Wow, yep. This is weird. I'm still in it for 21 years. Amanda is also the vice president of curriculum and learning at Propello. It's a teaching platform that combines curriculum, pedagogy, and technology to improve student outcomes. And my favorite is saving my time as a teacher. But welcome, Amanda. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's really awesome to get a chance to chat with both of you.
Awesome. Great. Well, 10 years. And then we just learned in kind of our previous conversation, you've been out of the classroom for 11 doing some interesting things. But let's go back and just kind of like give an intro, basically your path right now, who you are, what you're doing, and then maybe a little bit of that. What was education like in your life?
You know, I didn't even mention that I had a very short career before I was in the classroom, doing public relations work in film. So this is kind of like my third iteration outside of the classroom here. But yeah, I went back to school. I went back to school after 9/11, because I just felt like I needed to go and do something meaningful in the world. Yeah. I was kind of, you know, I'd been out of college for a couple of years and was just kind of feeling like what I was doing just wasn't really connecting with, for me. And I was raised by an educator. My mom was a middle school teacher. And I always said, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to go do something different. I'm not going to do what mom does. But I now, you know, see that that was absolutely going to be my path. I would sit in class, even like in third and fourth grade, and say, I could do this better than my teacher. I know what I would do if I was teaching this. Or I would like read the textbook to find errors. Be like, there's a mistake here. And so, I mean, I just think that there's definitely, you know, some real ringers there for the fact that I was going to eventually end up in the education world. So anyway, I tried something else. Decided that wasn't working for me. I went back to school, went back to Michigan State University, got my teaching certificate, and then moved to Chicago to teach on the South Side. So I taught in Chicago for about 10 years, both in regular CPS schools and in a charter network. And, you know, it was a lot of figuring things out for myself. There were teachers that were, you know, wanted to mentor me and wanted to kind of support me, but I still felt that, you know, in particular with curriculum and with the guidance in terms of standards and how to really attend to the needs of students, I just really felt like I didn't have what I needed. And by the end of my, by the end of my 10th year of teaching, I realized that I could do more for education outside of the classroom than I could in the classroom teaching students. And so I left to create content that could support teachers to do their jobs better, to allow them to concentrate on, you know, what they needed to do within the classroom and to support them in the work of really, giving opportunity for students instead of constantly feeling that they needed to scramble to pull together content, to pull together good assessments, to try to figure out like, how do I differentiate for in a high school classroom where I have one student who's reading at a 10th grade reading level, and then I have another student who's barely reading at second grade level, right? Like, how do I even do that? So I left the classroom to support teachers and create curricula that could really allow them to do their best work that I felt like I never really had. And so now, yeah, here I am at Propello, creating content, full curricula that teachers can actually access for free, because we believe that teachers should not have to dig into their own pockets to teach students. And it's really awesome work. And I'm so, so grateful to have the opportunity to be here doing this today, to give teachers an opportunity to focus on what really matters.
For people who are in the educational system, you probably already have dealt with this battle, but if you're, you know, on the periphery, if you're a parent, a student, just even admin, you've been out of the classroom for a while, there are so many resources for teachers, but like how good they are, how robust they are, ease of use and all of those things are really challenging, like the what can be in front of you, and right, that scrambling can happen if you don't feel like you have one thing in your pocket that you can just like go to. And I know a lot of my summers were spent understanding, you know, curriculum and how to implement it, and then how to reach the students at all those levels that you're talking about. So for your work in the last 11 years, which, you know, has been helping teachers outside of the classroom, you know, make their in-classroom experience better, what are some things that you really feel like Propello and just the work that you do, it makes curriculum design like really, really helpful for teachers, and that like people who aren't maybe in that world need to understand about the work that you do?
My experience had always been cobbling together all of these different resources, right? To try to figure out what is going to work best for my individual students and my classes. And I just spent so much time trying to find those vetted pieces of, you know, instructional material and then try to make them become a cohesive unit so that I could offer them to my students and it wouldn't feel like we were jumping from one thing to the next. And so what Propello is intended to be is a full curriculum that has vetted material. It is, you know, you can trust that what we have in front of you and your students is reliable, right? Mm-hmm. But it also allows for teachers to kind of create playlists. We have learning paths. So teachers can say, listen, I see this unit. I really want to actually combine this unit with this unit and make it my own thing, because this is the way that our district is already teaching. And these are the things that we want to focus on. And I can basically, as a teacher, I can create a playlist. It's like a Spotify playlist where I say, here's the activity I want my students to do. Here's now they're going to read this thing. Then we're going to do some exercises. And then we're going to go back and do a few more activities. And you can do that at the click of a button, right? Like it's that easy. It's a drag and drop sort of situation. And so not only can you customize how students see the content that's delivered to them, and it's all very cohesive, right? You're also able to provide students with, maybe you want to say, listen, I'm going to create this unit, but I know that my students are doing inquiry-based learning and they're going to choose their own paths that they want to take, their own questions that they want to answer. And so I can kind of say, this group has chosen to ask this question, and I can send them out a very individualized learning path that allows them to attend to the questions they want to answer first. So I might have, you know, three or four different paths that my students are taking that we all then end up at the end in the same space, but they're choosing the order that they want to get to the content. We have the ability to say, I want to take a look at this science content on level, or I need it to be a little bit more simplified. So I'm going to read shorter sentences. There might be a little bit more description to help me really access the content. But I can choose for my students which level I want them to be reading on. We also have an immersive reader built in. So 100 plus languages that can be translated, all of our content can be translated. We can add layers for dyslexic readers who need to, like, you know, maybe they need to see the background in a different contrast, or we need to change the font a little bit, or we need to, you know, make the font bigger or smaller. It reads aloud. I mean, we have just so many different ways to differentiate our content, and it is honestly just a click. So you don't have to spend time figuring out how am I going to make this content accessible to a student who is struggling to read but completely understands what, you know, when we talk about it aloud, they can get it. Or I have a student who's, you know, is coming in with their home language is Tagalog. And I can't translate that. I don't have anybody that can help me with that, but the immersive reader can do that for us. So not only are we providing this solution that is vetted and accessible and reliable, but the differentiation piece is like a snap. And I wish that I would have had that.
You're right. I'm going to lead up to that question because you're hitting it on the nose. I mean, when you're talking, I mean, we have 60 different languages in the high school I teach at alone, which is it's difficult, obviously. I think, you know, coming into my own like world as an educator, you're always, And I'm going to, you guys are going to remember this as an educator. You get the curriculum, right? And you're like, all right, this looks pretty cool. And then you implement it and maybe 20% of the students are on it. And then the rest, and you're like, whoa, wait, what, you know, and then things start spiraling and you're starting to look at, you know, different things going on and, you know, how do I get what's wrong over here? And you start then putting out fires. And so I totally get that anxiety. And even now, I'm 21 years in the game. I'm still trying to, you know, figure things out. And Seeing this. But the other thing that it made me think of really, Amanda, was when I was young in elementary school many, many moons ago, the choose your own path reading books, right? Like I love those. And I really, you know, have always been waiting for, you know, how, come on, man, like I want to choose my own path. And I think with technology now and what you're doing there is pretty amazing. I have to think like a lot of the pieces of what you just said at the end of that is I wish I had this. And this is what makes like, you know, great ed tech companies great are the experiences that you've had. Is, you know, was that what prompted you to start thinking differently about the work that you do with Propello and like how you're bringing together these teams and just in general in education to really help students be the driver's seat in the driver's seat, and then the teacher kind of takes a back seat? Is that kind of your lens? And you know, what kind of was that what prompted you to take a look at this?
As educators, we know that teaching and learning are emotional, right? And that you learn better when you connect emotionally with your the content that you're working with, right? You not only are more willing to kind of interact with whatever is coming at you, but it also sticks better. And that's just, I think, you know, part of learning science is that we know that when our brains and our interest centers are turned on, we just, that information is embedded better in our memory. And so, you know, part of the inquiry-based learning piece is that that students are able to say, I have this question that I want to figure out based on, you know, it could be a picture that teachers start with, right? Or it could be a video or, you know, whatever, that something that is kind of engaging students and recognizing something that's going on in their world and then allowing them to say, here's the path that I want to take to figure out what this is what this is really about, right? And so that whole inquiry lens allows students not only to kind of choose the direction that they want to go with teacher guidance, you know, and we can't just say like, go off down this road and then we'll see you in 3 weeks, right? There's definitely a guidance portion to this. But when students have that choice and that voice, we know that they are more willing to attend to the more difficult task of digging in and really figuring things out. Education, we really believe, needs to move into that direction. And I think that we're going to see that more and more, particularly as AI becomes a greater and greater force in our world. We can't just assign work and then expect for authentic responses to come back. And inquiry-based learning really requires authenticity. You have to be doing and questioning and figuring things out on your own. And you know, being critical thinkers. And so that's really what we're focusing on here at Propello as we start with our science program and then continue on with English language arts.
As a former, you know, high school chemistry teacher, inquiry-based learning in the sciences is like a huge driver, and that idea of choice. But there is like the foundational skills that and vocabulary that, you know, if a student couldn't master those, it made any type of higher level learning application really, really challenging. And as you know, if we were all high school educators or just educators in general, like you understand the reality of having, you know, anywhere from a classroom of 20 to 30 students to having 6-7 periods of that many students, and customizing and individualizing can be extremely challenging, if not impossible. So it's like, I know as technology became more robust in my own teaching experience that I was better able to level the playing field because there's only so much of you that can go around yes. in any one class period. And I know that like the students who could have that choice or the level that was correct would we would be able to make more steps forward. And sometimes it were, you know, based on the resources and access that I had, like it required me one-on-one with them in order to do that. So in terms of, I know it was like a shift for me as an educator to kind of release some of that, finding a tool that would be like robust enough to like kind of release that learning component to the student, for a really technical subject, because you want to make sure that it's correct, and that what they're learning is correct. Because I don't know about you, but relearning misconceptions takes a whole lot more work than like doing
absolutely
on the upfront. So I'm just like curious with just curriculum design, like what is the system, you know, how can the system benefit from this type of program and software? And like, how do we get teachers to see this as helpful for them? Because it's like, it really is, there is a learning curve to any technology piece. And then you have to be willing to like, you have to know that it's vetted in all of these things, but like, how can we bridge that gap or communicate that to ensure that it is helping teachers and students? Like, what does the system need to hear?
Sure.
for that work?
Let me start by saying our entire editorial team is all, we're all former teachers. And so everybody is coming into this work recognizing the struggle of what it's like to be in a classroom, recognizing the needs that teachers have, recognizing that, you know, what education looked like 10 years ago is not the way that it looks now. We actually have several teachers that have left the classroom post COVID. So they've been through that whole cycle of online teaching and learning, you know, having all of these digital options to use, and then feeling overwhelmed and like wanting to just like, you know, reel it back in and use paper and pencil and textbooks. Like, we get that, right? And so not only are we providing the support for teachers to help them learn how to do inquiry-based teaching, help them learn how to kind of let go a little bit and allow students to choose or, you know, make some choices in terms of where they want to go. But we're also, you know, supporting them with the background of science for teachers who are coming in and saying, I haven't taught science in 20 years, or I've never taught science. I've been a math teacher. And now here I am teaching science because our science teacher left, right? Or who knows? We have kind of created this program with really robust teacher supports to help them identify misconceptions right off the bat. Know that these are the common things that students don't understand, or they think in you know, kind of in a twisted way, you know, how science works. We all know people who have really strange misconceptions for how the world operates. And so we attend to that in every single activity that we have. We make it clear, teachers, these are things your students might not understand when they go into this. Be ready to attend to that and to kind of fix it before it starts. We have support for just how to, you know, maintain discourse in the classroom. So like, how do you even ask a question? If this is inquiry-based learning, we need to make sure that our students know how to ask questions. And so we have developed strategies for teachers to help guide them in that teaching and learning as well. Because science these days is not just science. It's about learning how to work together to figure things out. And so we've built that all into the program as well. Every unit, every article, every activity that we have comes with a dedicated teacher's guide. And even within the student-facing content, because we're a digital program, we can insert little teacher tips that only the teacher can see that kind of calls out specific information that they might want to attend to when they're working with students. So, you know, let's say that you've got a group of students who is, they've just completed an activity and now they want to go back and do some more in-depth reading within the Propello ecosystem. The teacher will actually have some specific guidance, not only in the teacher guide, but also right within the inline text to be able to say, hey, right here is a really great example of where students, you know, can get slipped up. Or here's a great spot where you can ask some really some more deep dive questioning for students who need that extra push, or for students who need some differentiation. Here's a way that you can do that. So we have really tried to attend to all of the needs, not only for students and what they need to be, you know, the active scientific learners in the classroom, but also to really support and guide teachers, whether they've been teaching science for, you know, 25 years, or if this is their first day stepping foot in a science classroom.
Like, you know, I've heard you probably just answer my next question, because it's really like, you know, there's a lot of these areas in curriculum design. I've designed curriculum for some platforms. It's very interesting when you see it. You also, like, you bring in all this information, you know, what students are seeing, what parents are seeing, what educators are seeing, what the data is showing, all this stuff. And it can be quite complex. And I love the fact that you're talking about all these different angles coming in and in these very interesting ways that I just see it like as little shields, Allie, you know, like when all these little problems are coming at you, you have this shield here. And I don't mean to mean shield, but like, it's like, okay, well, here's something that you can do. Here's something you do, and answers and help that you can get in a classroom. And I think that's what's wonderful about technology in general, when it's used correctly. But I want to kind of go back to that curriculum design. You know, the educational system is the educational system. It slowly changes sometimes, but, you know, as a curriculum designer yourself, what's missing? Like what has been missing, in curriculum design? Is it, and maybe you just answered that question, but I wanted to see, is there anything else that's missing in curriculum design that you guys are looking at? And you particularly are looking at, somebody in that area.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely believe that we've been so focused, and obviously the main focus should be on the learning outcomes, right? Like, we want mm-hmm. students to succeed. We want to see them grow. We want to see that they are, you know, meeting, and exceeding their goals, but we can't do that without having teachers who feel supported and guided and confident in the work that they're doing. And so often I feel that curriculum skips over what the teachers need and just try to attend only to students. And so, again, like I said, our goal is to make sure that teachers are feeling that they're getting what they need. They're the main indicator of student outcomes within a classroom. It's actually not the curriculum. Teachers are the most important part of what students get every day at school. Mm-hmm. And if teachers aren't feeling that they're getting what they need, then we know for sure students aren't getting what they need. And so at Propello, our goal is to make sure that teachers are a priority so that students can be that end priority. And I do think that that is something that's been missing in curriculum development for many years. But I also think that something that, you know, and I'm sure that this is slowly coming along, and I would love to see this become, you know, a even bigger movement, is the idea that we now know how our brains learn, right? We know there's science, there's 20 years of science to help support the way that we teach, because we now know how students learn. We know how our brains work. And I think it's really, really important that the content that teachers are using and putting in front of their students attends to that, right? That really recognizes that there's a certain way that our brains operate. And if we're attending to that, we've at least hit one of the buckets. And And that's something that, you know, we don't see that within standards. We don't see that. And so often our content is just built based on standards. And so it's really, really important, I think, to attend to the ideas of how our brains operate and how we can develop content that speaks to that.
I can tell when a resource or a program has or has not been created by someone in the classroom. It's like,
seen some bad stuff out there. I mean,
that's what I think, you know, in learning about the work at Propello and knowing that, you know, it's created by educators. As an educator, you know, like the range at which you have and the depth of your resource bag or your toolbox needs to be. And so only I honestly have said this, if you want to disrupt education, it's going to require teams of teachers who have been on the front lines and recognize the depth and breadth that you need in any resource software tool in order to elevate the learning experience. And so it's cool that is the foundation of the work at Propello and what you're doing. So we love to kind of ask this question on the podcast and get all of our guests' opinions about, you know, if you could dream up an educational system model school that, you know, better met the needs of learning, teaching and learning in any capacity, like what would, no limit to what you can imagine here. What would you say? What do we need? What's the vision for you in terms of a better educational system? Like I said, sky's the limit.
It's a tough question. And I think that, you know, in the United States, there's no one size fits all, right? We have so many different types of people that we are educating, and so many different types of people who are educators. And so it's really hard to answer that question with you. because there's no, we can't change that. And I wouldn't want to, because that is what makes the United States so amazing, in my opinion. What I do think we need to do more of is giving teachers the opportunity and the right to recognize what is best for their students, and to make choices with curriculum, with the programming needs of their districts that will attend to the students that they're teaching. So what works in Chicago Public Schools is not necessarily going to work in, I don't know, suburbia, right? Like right. And we can't, so I absolutely understand that, you know, we need the opportunity to allow for teachers to say, I know my students, I know the ecosystem of the place where I teach, and I know what they need, and I am a professional, and I need you to trust me to make the right choices for your children and their learning. And, you know, I mean, I'm a teacher, once a teacher, always a teacher. And I think that so often we as a society don't trust our educators like we should. We're professionals. We've all gone to school to learn how to do the best work, and we're all here to do what's best for these kids. And so, you know, I just would love to see a system where teachers have you know, have more efficacy and can make the choices that they think are right for their kids.
I'm just going to say amen right there. I mean, yes, I mean that you're right on. And I love that look at it. Such a human centric look, which is interesting because, you know, Allie, when we came into this conversation, we're thinking, okay, there's, you know, Propello, it's technology, but really it's human centered, you know, which is kind of goes into your backstory, Amanda, which I really appreciate, that, before I ask you to, you know, share some places where we can look up Propello and you, I got to ask Allie, what are your final thoughts?
If I had to summarize your view of the educational model, I just picture, you know, less red tape. And I think that would keep a lot more educators in with that system built on trust. And so if what we can do in the educational system is really trust our teachers and from all levels and trust them as the professionals that they are to guide learning experiences to move our children forward, there is no limit. Absolutely. So that would be my final thoughts for today's episode.
I like that. And I think one of the other things that I kind of thought about, Amanda, here was, you know, I even as an educator, going through this, I learn more about students. Like I learn more about who they are. Through something where they're choosing, right? Where they have some self advocacy for their own learning. So, which I love. So I want to leave off here with, how can people connect with you? How can people connect with Propello and learn more? And by the way, I love the fact that this is free because that's the first question I always get from administrators is like, yo, how much is the cost? And da, 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 da. Tell people how they can connect and learn more.
Absolutely. So you can go to propello.com and sign up for a free account. We are, you know, it's available. We have really great customer support. So if you need help with getting your content going, just reach out and we'll have somebody get in touch with you within, I think about 12 hours is usually our timeline. And sometimes even faster than that, much faster. So absolutely check out propello.com. You can follow us on socials at Propello Learn. Yeah, I mean, we're really looking forward to getting a lot of teachers in there, looking at our content, looking at our product, giving us feedback. We love to get feedback. I'm just really excited about the work that we're doing here and the opportunities that we think we can make available to teachers and students.
Cool. And I definitely see this scaling, especially as you mentioned AI coming in and automation and those types of things. And again, not to be afraid. Because as an educator, when we're working with this, it gives it more meaning. And actually, well, I know this is going to be very generic, but it propels people higher in their learning. You're welcome.
Fantastic, Peter.
That's why I love the Propello, right? So,
absolutely.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your backstory, what you're doing with Propello, and generally, like, how you're exceeding your why and helping more people. That's I think is one of the most important pieces out of this conversation. So thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Really great to chat with both of you.
All right. For Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. We'll catch you next time on the Disrupt Education Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college, campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.